Look, hey, this that rated R. With the homie Shaw, yeah. They telling me to stop. But I ain't even start. Tryna keep it real, yeah. Tryna keep it raw, yeah. Something you can feel, hey. And help you change your thoughts. Yeah, this that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. Getting vulnerable, yeah. Showing you my scars. Hey. Nah, I ain't got no chill. Yeah. I do it for my God, yeah.
Hey, why yeah. We do it?
Said I do it for my God, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We back, man. It's your boy Jamar with the double R. I got my man Shot, and don't forget my man, double L. That's just how it's spelled. If you don't know, well, homie, that's just how you tell. All right, anyway.
That's what's up, though. You know,
we're dropping bars.
I had to get out of it, all right? I just had to get out of that zone, you know, after that prayer or whatever.
You've been reciting that bar for a minute, haven't you?
I don't keep it in my car practicing. Like, all right, how are we going to do this, man? How are we going to do this remix? So right, this is what that's what we got. But,
JD remix out here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I know what this is.
This is the remix.
So, baby. Oh, my gosh. So. But, yeah, man. It's definitely good to be back here, and we look forward to talking about a few topics here, folks.
Yes, sir.
You know, one thing that we're going to talk about is that control and the role that we play in the household as, you know, that thermostat, you know, or that thermometer, you know. The difference between is one is the control and one is just gauging. So we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Little bit on the entertainment side. You know, we got some music that's been out for a little bit. Shout out to Kanye and the Donda album, along with that Drake Certified Lover Boy.
Certified.
Definitely gonna get our thoughts and, you know, ideas and, you know, what we thought about it. So we're looking forward to that. And one of the final things that we're definitely gonna talk about are the five F's and what success looks like in those five F's. And are we able to obtain the optimum, maximum performance in those five F's? And for those who don't know what those five F's are, you got family, faith, fitness, freedom, and finance.
Hey,
so
I like how you did that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know,
that's a dope intro right there.
We doing that right there. You know, I'm ready. What I'm saying? We getting in there. So without further ado, we going and getting into it, baby.
Let's do it. So how are y'all feeling, man, just in general about hip-hop right now? Like, I feel like we're in a new space with like hip-hop. Obviously, mm-hmm. like the verses has been popping off.
Yeah.
New music.
Yeah.
Rap is still rapping. It's been like rapping for like 3 decades and some change now. Mm-hmm. Like, how are we feeling about hip-hop, though? Mm-hmm. Like, This is a different kind of space, yo. Like,
are we the old heads now? Are we the OGs?
We in the 30-plus like club 30 for plus, sure.
Right?
We the middle child, man. I guess, yeah. Right?
We the middle child.
That's how I look at it. J. Cole said it best. I really feel like that for the most part, because it's like we grew up on the Jay-Z, Nas, everything, kind of on the cusp of, like, Pac, Biggie.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Still a little too young for them, but you know. But now we got all the lils still coming out. The little baby, the baby.
Yep. The YBNs, the
all the different alphabet.
I know, man. Here we go. There's that little bit of that old head coming in.
The alphabet crew.
You feel me? But one thing I will say that I'm noticing is there's an evolution, right? There's a change going on. And I think there's also a renaissance in music and, you know, period, in culture itself. So, like, change is good, you know, and I'm learning to lean into it at the same time and keep an open mind. And, you know, we're talking about the new music that came out. I like the fact that, you know, the features with Kanye, like how he had a little bit of that young energy come in. Baby Keem. He's like 20 years old. I don't know if y'all heard about him, but
It's K-Dot.
Yeah, he's kin to Kendrick or whatever. And just, I love his energy. I love his approach, but I can tell he's got, I don't want to say sense, but he's got it. He's got something. He's got substance, and I appreciate that.
Yeah. You know, I'll be honest. I kind of, hey man, listen, man, the music today is different, but I say I definitely always gravitate towards the roots, right? I mean, toward meaning like, you know, your more like hip hop vibe music, you know. Yeah. Again, it's all about age. You know, I can't deny I do rock with a lot of newer acts, but it's after a while I'm like, damn, I feel like I'm getting dumber by the second listening to these guys, right? Yeah. But at the same time, it's like a hot beat is a hot beat, right? But I'll be honest, like, I've been heavy on the Griselda Boys. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, I just been on that grittiness. It reminds me of Wu-Tang.
Yeah.
Big Wu-Tang fan as well. But, like, going back to what you said, Shaw, we are the middle children, you know, and we do feel oftentimes, like, where do we fit into all of this? Yeah. But, like, that Ye project, I feel like, personally, I could definitely relate to that a lot. Facts. Just where he was at, where he's at in his life, you know what I mean? I think that spirituality and kind of going, we'll talk more about this later, the part of the five F's, faith, you know, you definitely, at this time of your life, you know, you're thinking a lot about it. And if you're not, then you may want to start processing it a little bit more, what direction you want to go in your life. But that the substance for me, the content for me with Kanye's project, it was just more grown up, you know, but also it was a tribute to his mother.
Yeah.
But what I didn't like about his project, what I didn't like about his project, and I think this is probably my same critique for the Drake project as well, was the banter between him and Drake, the subliminals between him and Drake.
Okay.
You know, I think for me, we didn't need that.
No.
Especially if this is a project dedicated to your mom.
That's right.
Why do we need, you know, let me poke my chest out. And let's be real, bro, you a billionaire. Like, why do you, why are we playing with our food? We bought our billies, right? Facts. So, you know, Drake, he wants to be where you at. You know, so it's understanding. It's like your little cousin or your little brother or, you know, somebody that is on a lower status than you, they trying to pick a fight with you. And you should already see what the motive behind their actions are.
Yeah.
However, if you see it and you entertain it, it must be some gain on your end too. So, I feel like there's a lot of gimmicks there. And, like, that's the only thing with those two, you know, it's just the gimmicks for me. You can put that to the side, right? Because when you get a Jay-Z project, J. Cole project, a K-Dot project.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Sean, like, a lot of them, they don't say nothing. They just dropping their music.
It's the music, right?
And it's just about the music, right? That's right. So let's get back to it being just about the music.
And while I agree, I think it's interesting because, you know, like, Kanye, I mean, it's weird, like, I'm gonna tell you, like, actually, when I heard that, I kind of geeked a little bit when I heard, like, because I think it was on that junior, whatever.
Junior Watanabe.
Right. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there cutting the grass, mowing the lawn, like, listening to the joint, right? And I, like, smiled because in my mind, like, I know that he's being Kanye at that point. And so to me, there was like this like side of like, all right, I know this is like low key, like, he gonna hear this. He's throwing some jabs, right? Mm-hmm. This is Donda album, right? And this is also like this new Kanye who's supposed to be all about God.
Mm-hmm. Right,
but
right.
There's a piece of me that kind of was like, yo, he's still trying to show some teeth, right? Yeah. And the reason I just appreciated that was because I felt like I just didn't know. Where is Kanye? It's like, where's Waldo? Like, we don't know.
Where's Kanye?
And so a part of me just kind of was like, okay, there's Kanye. Like, and not that I don't agree with what you're saying, because I do think that there's like, yo, if that wasn't there, the project still would have been what it was. Like, it didn't add to the project. Right, but to me, I think, like, you know, my thing is just like, I'm trying to like figure out like the story or the person of Kanye like right now, like what's happening, man, because he's going through a lot. Yeah. Obviously this man's like,
and it's
gone through a divorce and so it's just like, bro, like, you know, but it's, I don't know, it's weird, man. I feel like I still haven't quite like figured out how I felt about the whole back and forth, but I hear what you're saying, man.
But I'll be, yeah. I agree. I mean, I do think to some degree we like the braggadocious
the hip hop
vibe, right? The competition yeah. that hip hop brings, right? So, like, yeah, it's kind of hard not having a project where an artist isn't grabbing his nuts, you know what I mean? Right. Like, let you know right. what time it is. yeah. But, you know, because that's what it is, right? Yeah. It's like Marshawn Lynch going to a touchdown, grabbing yeah. his sack, like, yo, what's good, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
at the end of the day, you know, I feel like we got it on the last project.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it kind of reminded me of, honestly, let's think about 50 Cent, the constant, like, beating down Ja Rule on every single project. It was like, yeah. all right, bro, we got it on... You know, Get Wretched, Die Trying.
You got him. You got him.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We got on all these Curtis. We got on all these different projects. But I get it, though, right? Because it brings the people to buy it or listen and whatever the case may be. You know, it's like one of those things. When you get it, but it's like, you know right. what I mean?
I have to remind myself, like, you know, though this is art, right, that we're talking about,
sure.
it's also entertainment. So...
Yeah.
People are going to do things to keep others engaged and sure. entertained. And I also appreciate the fact that, you know, nothing is perfect. And Kanye's project was not perfect. And I think it showed his flaws. Because like you said, you're trying to figure it out. Like, mm-hmm. what are you? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or what's your angle? Are we focusing on God? Are we focusing on the loss of your mother? What are we, mm-hmm. where are we? Like, you're all over the place. And I have to check myself sometimes because I can be all over the place sometimes. And, you know, one minute you're feeling this way, next minute you're feeling that way, trying to touch on everything, right. you know, the best you can.
Yeah,
and,
true.
You know, it's obvious it shows in that person's work. And, you know, for some, when they're confused like that, they step away. For others, you know, they continue to be intrigued and they continue to listen and support and hold on. And, you know, I've been listening to Kanye for a while. And
oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's
yeah.
just... Yeah. amazing to see the journey that he's been through, but he's still made great songs. You know what I mean? Like, I loved...
My gosh.
My son is banging more of Donda in the morning. Like, you know what I mean? He'll put on 24. And, you know what I'm like? It's a lovely... You know, on the way to school, I'm like, yo, this is nice.
I mean, I will say this. I think Kanye has, like, created a new genre.
Mm.
You know, in a way, like, I felt like I was like, I think after listening to, because I had to go back, I was like, let me kind of like think through the lens of Jesus is King and compare that to this one, because comparing Jesus is King to like his old projects, it wasn't really much to compare. It just felt like this is a different thing. And so I had to kind of like look at it from a different lens. I'm like, this is a gospel record. It's not like a real hip hop.
Yeah, record. Jesus the King was all gospel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I just it didn't do it for me on like the lyrical level. Like, it just felt like, all right, this is all right.
Yeah.
But I'm not banging that joint. But I feel like Donda, like, there were more songs that I appreciated and still felt like Kanye, but still was like my joint, probably one of my favorite was Lord, I Need You. Like, and just kind of the vibe. It wasn't really a gospel song, but it was still like the undertones were there. Yeah, and then just kind of like, let me let y'all in on a little bit, the kind of the brokenness of this situation. Yeah. So we were able to kind of see like, all right, he's pulling the curtain back a little bit.
Right.
And so that vulnerability that we kind of talked to, that signifies growth and development. That's really like what we need, you know. This is a 40 plus rapper,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And yeah, you talking about God, you got these features from these young dudes. The features was dope, but at the end of the day, it's like we still want to be able to feel like we're growing too as we listen to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, let me piggyback on that real quick, because it's two things, right? Like, speaking to your point of Kanye created a new genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
But let's keep it all the way 100. He's been doing that since he came in the game.
Fact,
right? Like, the music he started creating, that birthed it a Drake, that birthed it a J. Cole, that birthed it Chance the Rapper, Lupe Fiasco, right? Like, a lot of guys really...
The backpack rap.
Right? Yeah, like, it came birthed it out of Kanye. So, you know, you have to really put that in perspective. Like, he has definitely changed the sound of music, but he's taken he's taking music and rap to so many different levels, and has made it more relatable to so many different people.
Right.
You know. Yeah. So now he's brought in now a whole nother, you know what I'm saying, group of people.
Yeah.
Right. Like religion now. He's brought in religion to music, which he's already been doing. Let's not even forget Jesus Walks. Like,
remember that?
See what I'm saying? Like that was
fire.
That was a smash. Jesus Walks. Yo, right. Like,
God, show me the way.
Show me the way. Like, he been on this for a minute, but I feel like he has definitely lost his way. He definitely lost his way. But I feel like it's like when you lost your way, and if you ever lost your way, you definitely try to find your way.
True.
And I feel like he's trying to find his way.
Yeah.
And I think his mother certainly was his grounding piece.
Yeah.
Right? But unfortunately, he don't have that. And then he married a woman, right?
Yeah.
That had her own baggage. Let's just put it out there. She had her own baggage.
Yeah.
And now he's struggling. I'll be honest. As a man, he's struggling with that.
That's hard.
That's hard.
I can only imagine what it would be like. And, you know, not to down anybody, but
no.
That's just a hard pill to swallow, to be with somebody where, you know, you just, they have their baggage, they have their
history. You know what you know.
You know what you know. I done seen it.
You know what you know.
A couple times.
You know what you know.
You know what I mean? And if I want to see it again, like, that's the hard part. Like, you can't.
So as a man, does that make you an insecure man? Like, does that, what kind of man does that make you? Right?
We could definitely make
you. I mean, he's definitely has, I don't know, like, I don't know where his mental's been before that. Right. I can't really speak on that. But, and I don't know if it's just been a progression of celebrity and progression of just evolution, right? Of being that level, that status, that level for so long. However, he has a matured will in it. But I will say, this man is winning and losing at the same time.
That's right.
But is that a good thing? Right? Do you want to win and lose at the same time?
If you're a Billy, hey, listen. You know, that's a dub on so many levels. But I hear you, man. I it's just like, can you gain the world
and lose your soul?
Right. And so I think that's kind of the thing. So, you know. And hopefully he feels like he's in a space where he can, I don't know. I mean, I think when I listen to his music, and like, I was looking for more depth. And you know, like, I don't listen to Donda and be like really encouraged the same way maybe I listen to like another artist who may be, you know, a bit more direct or explicit about their faith or what have you. I think he's making music that is religious, and it's still good music. Production wise, it's like, it feels like Kanye, but you know, but I mean, I think from where he's been, I respect where he's at. And that's kind of where it is for me. It's just like, I'm not judging that. You know what I mean? I think Kanye is a icon. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can all sit here and talk about what he should have done and what he, you know what I mean? It's easy for us to do that, which is why I think it's important for us to keep talking, because it's like, there's stuff in our lives that we still trying to work through.
Oh, man. Oh, man. You know, but I think Kanye is basically us.
Right? Wow.
Infallible as F.
Wow.
Right? Like, you know, we're not perfect. You know, and I think we all are dealing with certain things, right, that are essentially that's plaguing us, that's making us go crazy, that's making us make decisions that maybe not be the best in our best interest of us or our families.
Mm-hmm.
So he's all of us, right? And I think a lot of times we forget that. And I think we look at celebrity and we put it on a pedestal, like these people are supposed to be perfect.
They got it all together.
They got it all together just because they have money. But those are the worst ones, because they didn't do that work. They haven't done the work, right? They don't, you know, I guess we'll get more into that, but they haven't done that work on the inside to say, you know what, I've made it, now I can do the right things.
Facts.
You know, I can move different, I can do different things. So.
Yeah.
So that's definitely something that I've recognized, man. In all areas, man. Anybody we see, you know, I know we switching gears real quick, but the whole R. Kelly situation, like that's going left right now. Like, he got convicted, man. Right? But you know, that's right. Different. You know what I mean? And you know, so you know what I mean. But at the same time, you know, well, nobody would give a damn if this was a regular dude on the street. You know what I'm saying? That's doing this. That was doing that. the celebrity makes it so entertaining.
That's right.
At the end of the day, people doing this every day to children, wow, right, to women, yeah, every single day, right? And we're just polarizing this man because he has stardom. But we're not polarizing the fact that sex trafficking is a thing.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But you know what I mean? So it's just like a lot of things, like this world really wraps themselves into the wrong things.
That's right.
And,
well, you know, yeah, this society is steered by influence, right? That's really what it comes down to. And people who have those platforms, like the celebrities, they have that influence. And, you know, when we see them, a lot of times we want to emulate that. You know, we want to be able to relate because we see something that we want to try to ascertain to. And I don't know, man. I feel sometimes for these artists, for these famous creators, if you will, because
I like that.
Believe it or not, you know, they have a lot of power, and yeah, it can do a lot. You know, we've all been influenced by the music that we've listened to. Sure. You know, and I think now we're coming to a point where we're realizing we need something that's going to be good for us and our soul. And it's going to help us align with where we're trying to go in life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's just, I appreciate what's going on right now in the culture and as far as music. And I also want to say this, not to jump around, but I really appreciate that vibe of like the genreless genre, you know what I mean? Like, believe it or not, Kanye is a pioneer, and also Drake is a pioneer. You know, they're all, most of these guys are pioneers who are doing things that, you know what I'm saying? I see it.
And so is Lil Nas X.
So is Lil Nas X. Exactly. They are pioneers. Exactly. They're pioneers in their own ways, shapes, or form. But shout out to those people who are those pioneers. You know what I mean? And
right,
like, we were talking about, like, we always try to do that. And now, being that, you know what I'm saying, like, we're a media group and all that good stuff now. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, one thing that people do, I see, is they try to put something into a box to determine mm-hmm. what it is, instead of just saying, look at this, or mm-hmm. this is what, you know what I mean? Just mm-hmm. admiring it or acknowledging it instead of trying to categorize it. Like, you think about with Ja in 50. 50 didn't like him because he'd be like, yo, what are you? You a rapper? You a singer? You always singing? I remember those little skits you used to do during right, the Wangster right. days.
Yep.
And now,
he was the main one singing on 21 Questions.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Half his albums after that.
And so now we got albums that are R&B and hip hop and just a mix of everything and gospel and a hodgepodge of a little bit of rock and roll. It's just, it's a little, it's
country.
It's everything. It's a gumbo. And that's okay. That is okay.
I love the fact that, I mean, because to me, I think hip hop has always kind of felt like dominated by one thing. Mm-hmm, and I think mm-hmm. the healthiness of it is like everything can exist mm-hmm. and there's room. It's room for other things, yeah, right? Yeah, I think that's what I love about hip hop right now. The fact that you talked about the resurgence of like the lyricists, like the old heads and having room to still be appreciated, get their flowers, and having platforms like Drink Champs where dudes can still sit down at the table and we can learn and hear and listen and they can be honored, and there's still like an opportunity for us to be like, yo, these are the dudes that we like grew up with.
Yep.
Now half of them look crazy and I'm like, why was we listening to these dudes? Yeah. And then the other half is just like, man, they actually have turned into something. And I think that's the beauty of hip hop right now. It's like we actually get a chance to put our eyes on it and say, look, yeah, we was listening to these cats, but like, where y'all at now? Because that's going to speak to like your music. And that's the one thing about verses that I think is interesting, as exciting and as fun and as cool as it is, and it's cool that they're getting a bag, you know what I mean? But like, I think the one thing that I've been trying to also pay attention to is like, yo, these dudes is like, you know, 40, almost 50, and it's like, what are they really standing for?
Wow.
Because a lot of their songs, if you listen to, if you really like hear what they're saying, and I mean, obviously they were younger, you get it. But I think that's something else for like new artists to just be mindful of. Like when they do a versus or whatever it is later, as they're doing their tours, their farewell tours and everything, like how is rap going to stand up? Mm-hmm. And you got these songs about, you know, like bend it over and twerk it. and you 60 or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, is that going to stand the test of time? Is your music really timeless? Or is it just like you made a hot song? And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? You were where you were, but like I think it's an opportunity for people to really say, look, hey, who do we want to be, and how are we going to get there? Because yeah, man, it's just like it's very obvious now. Like this is who we are going to be. You know what I'm saying? Like we gotta recognize that. So do we like what we see in the mirror?
Do we like what we see? I want to say this, you know, as a people, man, we are a celebratory people. You know what I mean? We love to have fun. You know what I mean? We love to dance. You know what I mean? We love to enjoy life. We just, you know, that's just us. And I think we're always going to do that. But it is a legitimate question. You know what I mean? Like, what are you really leaving behind, and what impact are you leaving behind? And, you know, with that music and with that art, I want it to be more uplifting, you know what I'm saying, than anything, you know? And I want it to have substance, you know? That's valuable to me, you know what I mean? And for others, you know, there's, you know, some people just want to feel good. And I think we can do all those things, you know what I mean? We can do all those things, and I don't know. I definitely agree. Like, you know, with the younger generations, it's something that they got to be mindful of. But at the same time, they gonna get their bag too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They gonna continue to make that music. They gonna continue to keep partying and celebrating, and you know, eventually they'll look back and see the growth and keep some of that aspect that they had in the past and kind of, you know, transition it into the future.
So, I mean, I agree, man. I think for me, man, music is situational, right? I mean, I think it's like, you know, I couldn't see myself listening to the same person every single day, the same level of content every single day, right? You know, like for me, work, like let's say I'm going for a run, you know, I'm gonna need me some Griselda, like I'm gonna need that, right, for war to push me through that run.
That's right.
But if I'm riding, man, honestly, I may throw on something chill, like some real chill kind of mellow me out, right? Like some Phony People or, you know, some internet, like just on some R&B chill. But, you know, I think hip hop just is like in the mornings and like trying to get hype and trying to just kind of, you know, or if you're just really trying to hear something, man, just want to vibe out, right? Yeah. You just got off from work and you just want to kick your feet up and just listen to something good. Yeah. You know, so I think music definitely serves its purpose. And I think for me, it was based on the situation I'm in, what I'm trying to do, what I'm trying to get into. And you know, I think for me, I always go back to, like, to either, you know, something that I can vibe, like Lil Baby, like, although he's part of the new generation, his substance content is bag-driven, for sure, right? It's success, but it's also, at times, vulnerability. It's like, he's, you know, he's really speaking something that, okay, that he lived or he's going through or his family went through. And like, so, like, I think anytime we can listen to music and learn something about the person we're listening to, like, that, we gravitate towards that.
Yeah.
Or anytime we can listen to somebody and they give us something. Like, I can remember when I was going through, you know, my health issues at the time, Chance the Rapper was, like, my guy. Like, that album, Coloring Book. That was like, man, that was real, like, inspirational. Just some of his the whole album, honestly, because let's be real, he did the first religious rap album, you know, spiritual rap album. Like, Kanye came after that, you know. I don't know, but I mean, he ate all Kanye with the Jesus, what I'm just saying. But like, the whole album was just very spiritual,
right?
You know, and so
in a major market kind of space, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the Coloring Book, you know what I mean? So that for me is like, boom, I can even think back and just have nostalgia, thinking about some of the tracks and just what I was doing at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I laugh out loud because I just love the dynamics of the music that we have and the dynamics of, like, shout out to Chance, like, my mom was just like, yo, I love Chance the Rapper. Isn't he like a gospel rapper?
Yeah, yeah,
so, like, we taking a trip to go to New Jersey, I think, right? And she was like, yeah, play some Chance the Rapper.
So you put that acid rap.
Yeah, put that. And one more label trying to stop me. And my mom, what is this? I don't know. It was so funny. Like, but just let it rock. It was there. But it's so the dynamics. You gotta have those dynamics.
You do.
Out here.
You really do, man. Because we are complex humans. You know, like we.
I was thinking the same word.
I mean? Like we bring so much shit to the table sometimes. So many different emotions to the table, right? And I think that's kind of how Drake kind of comes into the discussion, because he brings two different worlds to you every time he puts an album out. Like, he got the R&B hits on one side, the rap hits on the other.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's rapping non-straight fire. He's braggadocious, right? And now he's talking about he got grown-ass men cutting hearts in their hair.
That's like, crazy.
Now, what's that impact like? You know what I mean? Like, let's be 100, like grown men, not no teenagers.
Grown men
in their 30s cutting hearts in their hair. Now, I get it, right? Yeah. You feel like you certified, but a lot of guys are self-proclaimed certified. Like, what makes you certified? Like, last time I checked, you gotta take a test to get certified. what makes you certified out here? But anyway, I digress, right?
Listen, man.
Bruh, no shade to anybody listening. Not at all.
Y'all, we love y'all.
Nah, the heart
shade,
part.
Shade, like a shade.
Shout out to the heart part.
Oh my God.
Guess I'm not getting one anymore.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Oh gosh. But I think that's a good segue and even kind of look an analogy of like, what's the example of someone who's being a thermostat versus someone who's being a thermometer, because I think we can see it in culture all the time. Like, I always think about Hov. Like, Hov said something, everybody did it. Mm-hmm. It was just like, yo, we off throwbacks, we on the button ups, mm-hmm. we off the rims. Mm-hmm. It's like everything that he was like,
death to auto-tune, right?
Yeah. So it was like everything that he said. So he's like one of the dudes. Is just like, if he's saying it, if he co-signs it, it's just like we followed.
That's
like,
right.
Just as a culture, like it's like we follow that code, and so like you gotta have these new people that's doing that, and Kanye was one of them because he kind of went his own lane. But I think Drake picked it up. It's like, yo, I got it. Like after for the last 10 years almost, you know,
not more. 07.
Who else? You know what I'm saying? Like, who else has really carried it and been able to influence hip hop as much as Drake had? And I'm not even the biggest Drake fan.
Me neither.
Right.
You know, like everybody started rapping and sounding like him.
Yeah.
Like then the beats, like the dark, the damp beats that he put out, everybody started doing that. Singing on the, I mean, like he made it comfortable and appropriate for people to do that. People hated it at first, like, especially hardcore rappers.
Oh,
like,
man. I hate this music. We saw so much like resistance. I remember when he first came on the scene and they were like, yo, he rapped Nickelodeon. He was on Nickelodeon. Wasn't he Wheelchair Jimmy? Da, 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 da. Like crazy, you know? But I think that was what the temperature was at the time, you know? Because that's what the thermostat does, at least. No, I take that back. That's what the thermometer does. The thermometer tells you it's this temperature. You know what I mean? The thermostat sets it and then... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the thermometer says, okay, well, this is what we're doing now. You know what I mean?
So let's talk about it. Because I think, you know, we talking about this analogy, thermostat, thermometer, right? Like, what exactly are we talking about? Like, I do know, like, if we just focusing on, like, a thermometer, and I think you said this, too, before when we was kind of talking before, it's just, like, something that reflects the temperature, reflects what's going on around it, right? Yep. It doesn't actually... control. Do much, right? Mm-hmm. And this is like, I mean, I know we've been talking about music, but even just in life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we know the people that, like, if you just, if somebody just says something, they like kind of go along with it. Like, all right, y'all, we about to do this. All right, whatever. Cool, right? The thermometer, right? But then you have the person that can bring a different opinion and
influence.
Right. Bring some, you know, just kind of like have a contrasting idea that like changes the kind of the feel, or maybe brings a little bit of conflict to the table, whatever it is, or just says like, nah, like this is what I'm about. And it's countercultural, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thermostat. It's like, let's change the temperature. Man, it's too cold.
That's right.
We need to warm it up. Or somebody just being able to, you know, do it another way. And so, like, I think there's so many different aspects of being a thermometer, or being a thermostat, rather, being a leader. And one of the words, and I had kind of like three words that kind of came to mind that you got to be ready to accept if you're a thermostat. Mm-hmm. And you just said one of them is resistance.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to face resistance at some point, right?
Yep.
You're going to also face rejection on some level, right? Bro, and you also might face ridicule.
Wow.
So, like, you got these three R's of, like,
dang.
If you're ready to do that, and most people, if we just be honest, like, they ain't ready for that.
Right.
Nah. And I think this goes to your point where we're talking about, like, thinking about us from the inside out. But, like, if we, it's like, you gotta be ready for that if you're going to be somebody that's going to change the temperature. Because everybody can't do that. Everybody's not, like, some people are just insecure.
Yeah.
And I speak for myself. Like, I know rejection is one of the biggest things that I'm afraid of. I don't want to be rejected. But that goes back to, like, why? Like, I know that there's stuff that's happened in my childhood, or even as I got older, that, like, hurt caused pain. Like, I don't want to feel that. Like, right, I want to be accepted. But at the end of the day, if you are just going to only do things because you're accepted, then you're never going to step out and be a leader because you're afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be able to say, I'm willing to take a little bit of this resistance, or somebody saying something about me or looking at me crazy. Yeah. So somebody like Kanye, like, that's why we loved and respected him, right? But at the same time, that's why we also looked at him crazy. Like, yo, what you doing? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he's always been someone that I can at least look to and say he's willing to take the heat, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and set the temp, right?
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, but that's, you know, I think just that's a great way to look at life, right? Because either you are the thermostat or the temp or the thermometer.
Yeah.
Right. So are you the temp? Are you actually the one checking the temperature or creating the temperature? Right.
Are you looking at the temperature and trying to follow that? Like, I guess I gotta do this.
Yeah.
Now.
Right. But you know, I think, and again, man, I don't know if in every situation in life you can always be the thermostat. I think we all would want to be the thermostat, right?
Yeah.
Because what does that mean? We are in control.
Yeah.
Right. So not having the ability to be the thermostat, what does that mean? Does that mean I can never be it? Does that mean I don't have that the opportunity to create certain things for myself? But nonetheless, man, I feel like personally for myself, I've learned how to balance that.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'll be real, like, when I am the thermostat sometimes, I don't make always the best decisions. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, let's keep it a stack, right? Yeah. Because I think sometimes in life, you know, a lot influences, you know, being a thermostat.
Yeah.
Right? You're creating the temperature. That means, like, you're in control. You're in charge. And always, and being a leader doesn't always mean you have to be on the forefront.
Facts.
Right? And so you can be in a position where you can lead from behind.
Right.
And you can allow other people to set the temp, right? Mm-hmm. And you can check it. And check them at the same time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just being able to create the culture that you're looking for in your life.
Right.
In your household, your personal self, right? But I will say this. Personally, for yourself, it's important to be the thermostat for yourself. Meaning,
right.
Like how we taking care of ourselves.
Right.
We can't allow disease to be the thermostat for you to do what you got to do, right? Mm. We can't allow missed opportunities to be the thermostat to get your life together.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like it's learning when and where to be the thermostat, right? And when it comes to yourself and your goals, it's being a thermostat. You have to be the thermostat. You can't be the thermometer. You can't wait till life happens and say, oh, shit, I got to get it together.
Right.
Like, you got to bring that energy all day. It's like, It's any given Sunday. It's football Sunday. Like, you can't wait to get smacked in the mouth before you start playing.
Right.
Right. You got to come out the gate playing and setting the tone and let your goals and let your life adjust to the energy that you're bringing. So
it's true.
That's it.
I feel like, you know, from my experience, initially, I feel like it's like my home. Initially, I set the temperature. Mm-hmm.
Don't get in trouble with it.
That's what it is. But I set the temperature and then I wait, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, is it too cold for you? Is it too hot? You know what I mean? And then from there, somebody say, oh, it's a little too warm in here. Okay, turn it up. All right, cool. you know, you have to adapt. You know, sure. You have to see what the climate, how the climate works, and then from there continue to just, you know, monitor the thermometer, but at the same time know that you have access to that thermostat, right. And you got to know when to turn the heat up or turn the heat down or adjust accordingly. Mm-hmm. And like you said, man, it's about that healthy balance, bro. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to continue to do it. And the climate is always going to change. The outside climate is always going to change. Facts. So it's up to us to, you know, mess with that thermostat accordingly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I like what y'all are saying. Because, I mean, I think getting to your point is just like, I think a good leader, which is actually what we're talking about, being a thermostat, is like somebody who's sensitive to others and recognizes the climate. So you're not just like, this is what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, right. This is power tripping. And you like, forget what y'all think. This is what I think.
Right.
This
right.
is how we're going to. And then it's just like, you're not actually using your authority or your power well, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's about recognizing like how you can influence others in a way that is beneficial to yourself, but also to other people. Like, how do you manage that? And I think that's somebody that can be a good thermostat.
Absolutely. That's a great point. It's like the analogy that comes in my mind is touching someone without touching them. Mm. Right? And you don't always do that by telling them what to do or you know, leading them in directions of where you want them to go. And, you know, it's like life, though. I mean, like, we don't just walk outside and say, hey, I want it to be 80 degrees today. Right? We adjust, like you said, Jamar, to the seasons. Like, you know what I mean? We right. wear shorts when it's warm. We put hoodies on when it's chilly, you know? Right. And that's not something that we control. Now, we can go out there and wear a hoodie on in 90-degree weather. Or we can wear shorts when it's 20 degrees outside. Like, we can. But it may not be what's best, right? Right. So I understanding how life, that's how life works, you know, we can't always be the thermostat because it's not realistic, and when we are, we can make bad decisions, and sometimes it's best to allow someone else to right. be the thermostat, and you check it, you know, you check the temp, like, is this good for me, is this not good for me,
right?
But, you know, speaking to your point, Rashad, is just being how to lead, you know, and I think that's a perfect way of leading, you know, being a leader, you know, and that's something that you know, I recognize that even for myself, you know, being a leader is something that I've always kind of been, I guess, attracted to. Mm-hmm. But also how to do it, right, is something that I had to learn along the way. Mm-hmm. And it's so many different components and skills that goes into being a leader. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's also being a great listener, right, and really embodying what the whole team wants. Not just what you want. So I feel that, Rashad. That's spot on.
Question, though. What has been, like, one thing, and I can start with mine, but, like, what has been one thing, if you're honest, about, like, what stopped you from being a thermostat in an area where you know you should be? Mm. You know, I think in my mind, like, you know, like, in my household, and, like, there's certain things that's just kind of, like, out of order. And I know in my mind, it's like, it's out of order. Yes, like, me and my wife are partners, but at the same time, I also look at myself as, like, I'm still the head, and, like, at the end of the day, it still come down to me. Like, I got to answer for why things are the way that they are, right? Ultimately, it's like, all right, we sharing responsibilities, yada, 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 like, but, so for me, it's just like, all right, like, man, like, I got an idea for, like, how to do this. But how's my wife gonna respond if I present this way, right? Mm-hmm. Or am I doing my part to, like, model what this should be? And I think for me, it's like, I think there's just times when I've been lazy.
Yeah.
And not, like, being on top of certain things. So, like, laundry, for example, or just kind of like other systems things around the house where it's just like, man, like, this is frustrating. What am I going to do about it? Like, I can't just look at stuff and it's going to fix itself. Sure. It's like, either I got to step up and say, all right, look, boom, 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 like, this situation is how it's been working and this is not working. I need to come up with a different thing, or, like, empower somebody else to do something about it. So it's not just on me, like you were saying. It's like, you can lead from behind, but, like, actually bringing something up and just saying, look, hey, I don't want this for us. Like, I want I mean, hypothetically, if we're talking about laundry or whatever, mm-hmm. but like, mm-hmm. that is a situation in my house right now. Like, yeah. you know what I mean? But like, so something like that, or finances, where it's just mm-hmm. like, yo, we got to be better at communicating. Like, what's it going to be our system? Mm-hmm. What's going to be our situation mm-hmm. for like, if we're not following these rules, like, what are we going to do? Because mm-hmm. we can't afford to be in a situation where we're just, oh, man, like, this person doing this, like, maybe we should do it too. Like, how are we moving when sure. we making our money move? You sure. know what I'm saying? Can't be just going with the temperature. It's like, nah, we got to say, boom, like, we got to think long term. Mm-hmm. We got to think about the legacy of our kids. We right. want them to see us function well and making healthy decisions, right? Right. So, like, thinking long term to then, like, think about practical ways to figure out how to, like, do this right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one, though. I'll be honest. I mean, I think, I honestly can resonate with that. I mean, you know, I think that home life is where you always are trying to balance, especially if you're married, right? With kids, yeah. right? You always are trying to balance that being a thermostat, when to take charge, when to, you know, what's my role, right? Because I do yeah. think a lot of, I mean, in modern society, there's no such thing as gender roles as much anymore, right? I mean, right. of course, you know, you know, trash, grass, outside stuff, right, tends to still be the yeah, men's. Yeah, but, right. you know, in the house, though, like, this day and age, men do just as much with kids and, you know, household chores than women, right? Yeah. So I do, mm-hmm. but I do think it's where, how do you create and become the thermostat? And what type of household do you want to have, right? Yeah. And I think sometimes that's can be, you know what I mean, where, you know, some people struggle because... Yeah. You can't put your foot down and say, yeah, I'm a thermostat, I'm this guy, right?
Yeah.
And I have all the control in the house. Right. Like, do I want that energy?
Exactly. Right. You know, right. Exactly. You know,
so, but I think in terms of like an example, I mean, the only thing that constantly runs through my mind is like previous work positions, things of that nature, right. like where, you know, you asserting yourself too much may result in something that you may not be ready for.
Right.
Or maybe asserting yourself too much brought on some extra shit that you won't even expect or didn't want to see. Yeah. I've been in both of those situations where I did too much and, you know, got put on like different types of plans or yeah. I didn't do enough and things didn't go the way I wanted. So I think for me, like, that's always been like a very hard place to balance my energy and my power because yeah. it's like I got responsibilities and I've been in positions where, you know, I've stayed at a job until I was able to find something new. And I've been in positions where I quit on the spot, you know, and wow. you know, wrote email to the whole agency and told them why I was leaving, like on some just crazy, right, doing whatever I want to do, some Kanye shit, right? Yeah. But I say this though, I mean, I think that's probably like a perfect balance to have, you know, in that space is knowing when to speak up, knowing when to say, you know, let me let it right. fall, let me let it play out. And I've learned, man, over time when I've learned to. When I've been able to endure
yeah.
something, I've always came out best, right?
Yeah. yeah.
And not always forcing my hand, but just allowing things to happen with the end goal in mind, right? Allowing it to happen knowing what the outcome right. is going to be, but not getting too caught up in my emotion. Yeah. And I really feel like emotions really drive us feeling like we have to jump in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
You know? So I think if you're able to harness your emotions and be able to control what you're thinking and feeling, and you can control your actions, and you'll know and be very, very strategic on how you are using that power, because we all are very powerful. Like, as men, we do have an influence already, especially as black men, right? You have an influence, right? You look at culture today, right? It's always influenced by hip-hop. It's influenced by black beings,
yeah,
right, color, people of color, right? And so I know we're had to be PC on here, you know, so with people of color, right? So right, so I say all that to say, you know, we are influencers by birth, right? How do we use it, right? Wow. When do we use it, right? And understand our responsibility in yeah. the world.
Wow. Well said, good king, man. I will say this, man. I definitely can relate to what you were saying, Lonell, and you. You know, there's been so many different examples and experiences that I've had where I've had the opportunity to be the thermostat and maybe haven't seized the moment, but in retrospect, I had an opportunity to reflect, and maybe I was a thermostat, but the temperature just wasn't right. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I'm starting to find value in times, because I know I'm not always going to get it right, but I'm always going to take the time to pause and reflect now, and learn from that. And I mean, there's been environments where the climate was toxic, and I couldn't touch the thermostat. You know what I mean? I really didn't have control. I didn't have control over that climate. It was beyond me. But I know that I could remove myself and find another place where I had control of a thermostat, you know. So through that, I think that took a sacrifice of energy, you know, where you have to endure certain things. And then your time to where you figure out, well, where is the climate that I want to be in? You know what I mean? Where do I want to position myself? And I mean, even in domestic situations at home where, you know, there's a climate that I'm walking into, yeah. and I have to figure out how to, first you got to gauge it, like, oh, okay, well, it's a little bit cold in here. All right, well, let me come in here and let me bring some warmth. Like, I feel it right now, you know what I mean? What does that warmth look like? A hug, kind words, you know what I mean?
That's good. Just on a practical level, that's what's up. Mm-hmm. It's just like you do have to approach everything by identifying what is the temperature.
What is the temperature?
You can't just come in and just think like you go, you know, set the temperature any kind of way. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's so true, though. Damn. Because, I mean, that's kind of what we're saying, like, checking the temperature outside.
Right?
You just don't go outside. What do we normally do before we get dressed in the morning?
Check the weather.
Is it gonna be rainy, sunny, whatever the case may be, and that's gonna dictate how you're gonna dress that day, and that's how most people do it. But I mean, in environments though, right? Yeah, like home, like yeah, absolutely. Because you coming in with your own energy. Let's say you are happy and that energy's different at home. Oh man, that's just gonna throw your whole
that night off. Right? Off, yo. That can throw you off.
You're gonna be sick the whole night, like you know. But being thoughtful, right? Being two, three steps ahead.
Exactly.
Chess, not checkers, right?
So you gotta almost be both. You gotta be a thermostat and thermometer. Cause like, what do you do to check if you're sick? You gotta use a thermometer, mm-hmm. right? You can't control that. So it's like you gotta be mindful of like using your tools the right way. You know what I'm saying? So
I'll say this, man. And bring that spirituality into the element. I think, you know, when we walk into new climates, when we walk into climates period, I think it's good to center ourselves. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And do our best to prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually when we go into environments. You know, once we leave here, we go into a new world. We go into mm-hmm. a new environment. And I think one thing that I have to remind myself is to be present and also, like, pray. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, to really just ask God to just watch over me mm-hmm. as I go. Watch over my words. Help me be mindful. You know, help me be able to go with the flow, but also set the temperature as well when I go into that. And, you know, I'm learning to just kind of lean more into the energy as I go.
Wow. That's good. I love what you said because, you know, the more that I think about that, because I mean, if you talk about just the spirituality piece, like, you know, like, I know that my faith is one of the things that helps me, like, helps fuel me to kind of, like, have the confidence to do certain things that, like, maybe aren't, like, as popular or as acceptable, right? But it's like, well, I'm doing this for a reason that's just beyond me, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think Jesus was, like, a true model of, like, a thermostat, like, mm-hmm. like none other, right? But at the same time, you know, I think I'm also trying to connect the dots to how do I also be unapologetic about who I am and not apologize for me? Because I think those are the major things for key. Me. It's just like, you know, us being thermostats for ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to make sure that, like you said, like the spiritual piece, like I don't want to be spiritual in one space and then come to another space and like, all right, now I'm like, I'm just like chill. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that's not being authentic. Right. So it's like, if this is who you are, You know what I'm saying? I want to be a type of person that really feel like wherever I go, I can be me.
That's beautiful.
You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people struggle with that. I think that is one of those things that, like, if we're honest, it takes time. It takes, you know, having a support system, or having people that you can talk to, going to therapy, like figuring out who you are so you can know who you are. Mm-hmm. Know whose you are, knowing your purpose, and or at least continue to understand that, because it's a evolution of figuring that out. But then, like, even in those spaces, like, be unapologetic about mm-hmm. who you are, mm-hmm. and, like, don't apologize for being you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people just totally, and I struggle with that at times too, where it's just like I shrink back who I could be out of this sense of, like, I don't want to stir the sauce too much. I don't want to rock the boat too much. I'm not, you know, but it's just like they might need that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You might have to say something that might upset or offend somebody. You might have to do that. And just recognizing that, like, that's actually a gift. Right. You know, like, us being us is a gift. Like, mm-hmm. we can't be somebody else. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Very true. I mean, that's major, man. Being unapologetic, you is... I think I would say definitely it takes a lot of courage and confidence, you know, but it makes me think about the term duality, right? You know, it's something that, you know, or code switching, right? I mean, that's kind of more of the trendy word, right? Yeah. Code switching, right? And so when you put that in perspective, right, like, how long have we been actually code switching? Think about since slavery.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah.
We had to pretty much code switch to survive, right? And we have that same mentality now. We often code switch when we're not around our own.
Yeah, right? For sure.
And so, for me, I resonate with that. That's where I struggle the most, being me. And I think a big part of me growing my hair out was to say, you know what? Accept me.
This is it.
Right? This is who I am. Right. Accept me. Accept my blackness. Bro. Right? And so that's like something that is like, hey, I can't code switch. It's who I am. And I'm going to leave it nappy, too.
Dang. Right?
I ain't wrong. Right? You feel me?
Yo.
Like, Hov doing that. Yeah, I love the fact that he did that. Yeah. He's going into the rooms that he's been in.
Yo, I'm going to tell you this, though. Hov is who inspired me. Not the look, but what he said on the interview. He said, every room I go in, I'm me.
That's it.
Every room I go in, I'm me. I'm nobody else but myself.
Yeah,
bro, that shit hit me so deep, because I felt at the time I was switching up to just fit in certain rooms and circles. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know what? Yo, this is me. Like, I'm not for play.
you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So, like, that has definitely, man, been, like, my calling, right? It's just I need to be who I want to be and who I am. And and with me having my own practice, right, it's like, I want to wear shorts one day, I'm going to wear shorts.
You're gonna wear shorts.
if I want to wear a hoodie to work, I'm going to wear a hoodie to work. If I want to dress, I'm going to dress. I'm not getting caught into these social constructs that say, hey, you have to be professional. If you're professional, you have to look this way. If you're this, you got to look that way, right? Because at the end of the day, if you're coming to see me because of how I dress, we in the wrong business anyway.
This is so true.
You know, so it's like perspective, right? And it's kind of going back, you know, what we're going to get into second of the inside out, doing that work on the inside, because there's parts of us, right, and you spoke to it a little while ago, of things that has happened in life, in our childhoods, where we've been hurt, where we've certain things that happened, where it's holding true fast to what's currently going on in life, right, while we can't be who we want to be because we're afraid of rejection.
Amen. I will definitely be vulnerable and speak from that experience to say, like, I've been code switching for, I mean, I don't know, since I've been aware.
This is our meeting, right?
You know what I mean?
Oh, God.
It's not any meeting.
You know what I'm saying?
Code switching anonymous.
You know? Hey, look, hi, my name is Shamar, and I'm a code switcher. Hey, but this is my natural voice, yo. This is how I usually talk. But, I remember code switching when I was around more black people. You know what I mean? Where I had to switch up my swag a little bit. And you know what I mean? Just put a little pep in my step, if you will. But I am coming into that now, that self-realization and that actualization, to where I can, you know, affirm myself of who I am and what I'm capable of and the value that I provide, So why can't I be who I want to be on my exterior? You know, even, you know, where I work is, you know, it's starting to change, but it's predominantly a white institute. And I remember first coming into the environment, you know, as my presented self. Shout out to the Life Church pastor, Vernon Gordon. But being my presented self and where I wanted to, like, I came in and I was like, you know, tie every day, long sleeve shirts. Because, you know, if you see me, I have visible tattoos or whatever. And I was like, yo, how are they going to accept me? You know what I mean? How? And now I come to realize, you know what? No, it's hot, yo. Now, I'm wearing a short sleeve. Like, and you have questions about how I, you know, decided to express myself, let's get into it. You know what I mean? Or not. You know, if I'm not in the mood to have that conversation, no, I'm not in the mood to have that conversation. But nonetheless, I'm going to present myself. Or I'm going to present my best self to the, you know, how I can. And, I, you know, as I lean into that, I also appreciate that energy around me. How you're, you know, you're growing your hair and you're going through that process as I am as well. And just being able to, again, affirm myself and know and, one, trust God that he's going to put me in the right situation, in the right direction, as long as I listen. And you know what I'm saying? I don't really have to hide or, you know, do all that extra packaging, right, if you will. So,
yeah. For everybody that's listening, though, man, like, I think there's probably some people that's hearing this that probably say, you know what? I've been code switching, too. And you're not alone. You're not alone. I think at the end of the day, like, all of us need somebody that we can look at or some kind of model. And I'm not saying it's us, but, like, we got to, like, see somebody that's doing it. Like you said, like, Hov inspired you. I can think of somebody that I work with. It's actually a woman. And, like, she wears her hair natural, right? And so she's brilliant individual. And she's somebody that I can always look at and just say, you know what? She shows up as herself. She don't change for nobody.
Right.
And she and some people can think that she's a little bit polarizing because she will be a pain. She gonna tell you what she think, like, hey, but she always asks, like, you want me to be honest? She kind of like prefaces it, right? I'll be honest with you, right? And then, like, but I love that about her, because, like, she's always been able to set the tone. Like, when she walks in, you know, like, this, you getting the real, right? Not changing for nobody, not holding back, like, gonna give you the truth. And I think I want to be able to be a person that's like that. That's like, because sometimes we want to do it for power sake, or for celebrity sake, or for this sense of, you know, filling this hole, this emptiness, right? But it's like, no, like, we actually want to recognize that we are a gift to our community, to our people, to our family, to ourselves. And so, like, we're actually doing ourselves a disservice not being who we really are.
Beautiful.
You know, and not just ourselves, but it's just like, you know, I one of the quotes that kind of gives me, you know, gets me going is just like, man, there's generations waiting for your obedience to just be you, to be unapologetic for you. There's generations.
Right.
So like, what you do and don't do is actually going to affect not just you, but your kids, your kids. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just doing the Kanye joint. But like, at the end of the day, it's like, yo, it's so much more. Like, you gotta have a perspective that says this is bigger than just me.
That's
like,
right.
I really want to, you know, just be in the will of God, you know what I'm saying? And whatever it is that I'm doing, and at the same time recognizing, you know what, this is gonna bring some stuff. I might hear something. I might, you know, and being okay with that. But at the same time, I think it's hard to go into that situation where if you already feel like you're alone. If you already feel like you got, you know, stuff going, like if your home situation not straight, or you don't have somebody that's like a safe place, it's a whole lot harder to just try to like be you and be unapologetic. But right, I think that's key.
Yeah, yeah. And one man's obedience leads to another man's destiny.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, yeah. Obedience is everything.
So true.
Let's get to these F's, man. Like, what we doing?
We got the five F's. Okay, the five F's are family, faith, fitness, freedom, and finance. And the question had arose of, you know, how do we master, how do we touch on, how do we hit 100 at all those F's? is that possible? So, you know, I want us to transition into an open dialogue on those five F's and what it's going to look like to, you know, succeed in all those five F's. Mm-hmm.
Major keys, man. Major keys, right? Major key alert, right? Because, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, each of those, right, are they're pillars, right? And let's say we start with faith first, right? Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, because that's, you know, for me, as I you know, I have my life prioritized mentally, right? You know, it's faith, right? It's health, it's fitness, right? I gotta be able to survive to take care of family, right? And so family's next, right? And I look at that and it's like, boom, right? We have to strive to be A+ in each of these areas in life. Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the challenge and conflict comes in. It's like, okay, what type of being you have to be in either to beast mode each of these, to be a beast and knock out all of those areas, right? So just let me back up for a second. So looking at faith, right, what does that involve, right?
Right.
You know, I say that definitely involves having a strong faith base in some form of spirituality, some form of religion,
right?
I think also that comes in strong belief, crazy belief in yourself and in your abilities, right? And yeah, also in the things you're trying to do in your life. You know, because it saddens me to see people who live aimlessly, who have no hope and no faith. And those are two very different terms, right? Mm-hmm. When you have faith and when you're just hopeful, right? Hope is what kind of wakes us up in the morning. I hope it gets better, right?
Right.
Hope it improves, right? Hope I get that promotion at work today, right?
Yeah.
But faith is the knowing.
Yeah.
Right? Faith is actually, you feel, you don't see it, but you feel it and you know it's going to happen. It's just you already are just in a position to receive it, and you're very grateful for it already happening before it's taking place. Yeah. And faith is powerful, right? And so if you're leading by faith, right, you know, I feel like you can accomplish anything you want because your mental is strong, right? You're not getting sidetracked by obstacles and setbacks. Yeah. Because they're going to happen. Like any journey you're on without any obstacles, be afraid of it.
Facts.
Right? Because I feel like you're going to get it too fast. Yeah. You know, you're not going to know what it's like to grind and go through shit and then really figure out, like, wow, you know what? I don't really know how I got it. Like, you know, you want to look like, damn, I went through a lot and this was tough, but I'm happy I made it, you know? So,
right.
You know, looking at all of those, like, faith for me seems like it's one of the most important ones.
Yeah.
But when you look at all of them together, it's powerful. Like, it's a dynamic five. Like, it's a, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, you know, it just embodies so much. So, so do y'all fellas feel like you can master all of those?
Well, from my perspective, I think once I master all of them, that's when I'll probably leave this earth. I don't know. I will say this. I have the energy to work on all of them.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Whether I master them, I pray that I improve, and I aim to master mm-hmm. them, whatever that looks like.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? But I think that main pillar, I agree, is faith. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Because faith can overcome a lot of the distractions here in life. Like you said, with fear and insecurity and doubt and all that stuff. If you have a strong faith, I think you will be able to like push yourself through all those obstacles and oppositions, and we all know that they're going to keep coming. You know yeah. what I mean? They're going to keep coming.
That's so good. That's good.
The one thing that we can do is strengthen that faith so that we're able to take care of the family, you know, so that we're able to be, you know, that fitness, the mental fitness, the physical fitness, the financial fitness. Mm-hmm. And then eventually we head our way out to freedom. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to master them, I challenge myself now to like set the bar high, right, at this age. And only thing I can say is, you know, that's my aim and that's my goal. But I know that, you know, I'm not going to be perfect and I'm going to stumble and I'm going to bump my head sure. along the way, you yeah. know, and give myself grace during that time. I try to at least.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, it's hard to argue with. I mean, not that I'm trying to argue, but it's hard to argue with what y'all saying. I mean, I do believe faith is got to be the foundation
of
so much of it. But the truth of the matter is, I know that there's people that may not necessarily subscribe to an organized religion or what have you, and they can, but they can still, like you said, like have faith in themselves, have faith in other mm-hmm. particular things, because mm-hmm. We have faith. Sometimes we just don't know it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's faith is something that is tangible. Like, we sit down in a chair, we got faith that's gonna hold us up, right? So, but at the end of the day, how are we applying that faith? I feel like it's a question for me, you know? Mm-hmm. And for me, I think that is one of those areas where when I look at my actions, I can tell what I believe in and what I'm not believing in. I can tell, you know, when I think about the kind of person that I want to be, like, it just require me to have faith to say, like, you know, I can do this. I can be generous. I can use my money to pay my bills, but I also know that if I want to help somebody, I can do that, and I'm still going to have something left over versus feel like I'm just going to be broke because financial piece is key, right? You know what I'm saying?
It's so key, man. And, you know? Like, I mean, just to kind of segue, and then I'm going to bring in finance, not saying it's the next one or whatever. Yeah. There's no order, but I'm learning to tie my faith into finances, right? And I think, you know, using my finances as a tool to sow seeds to save money and to help, you know what I mean? To help and to, you know, when it comes to donating and even tithing, man, you know what I mean? I never thought that I would tithe as much as I do now, and I'm not saying, oh, I tithe so much. I tithe, like, I remember, like, I would go to church and I might have had a dollar, and you know what I'm saying, and I would give that, you know. And now it's just like, you know, you bump it up, but you come to realize with that faith, and not just doing it for the return, but with that faith and knowing that it's going to come back tenfold, you know what I mean, with every seed you sow is going to grow, helps. You know what I mean? And I think we should definitely try to get uncomfortable with our finances when it comes to, you know, like being good stewards with our money.
Boom, you took the words out of my mouth.
You know what I'm saying?
Stewards. Not just on your money, but everything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Be a good steward, right? To take care of things that you have, take care of, you know, your responsibilities. And finance is definitely one of those, right? Because I feel strong that you only receive what you're ready for.
Wow, true, right? So true.
You know, so you won't, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, hey, you know, if you have a God-given talent, right, that's making room for you, that's really helping you, then you get something unexpectedly and you're not ready for it.
Yeah, you know, that's not exactly hurts you.
Yeah, it's going to hurt you. Look, you know, we see it all the time with athletes, all the time. You know, we may know people in our personal lives who have got the bag and fumbled and lost it quick.
Yeah.
Right? Because they wasn't ready for it, right? And, you know, and so, you know, we typically get things when we're ready for it. When we get it when we're not ready for it, then we end up losing it. And that goes for relationships. That goes for family. That goes for so many things that we have to realize how to be great at it so we can keep it and we can maintain it and we can be successful with it. And so, you know, it's certainly, you know, the goal is freedom, right? And I like to really define freedom. Like, I really want us to have kind of conversation what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because what is that financial freedom? Is that freedom in terms of, you know, freedom to free will? Like, what does freedom mean to you both? And, you know, and how do you see yourself obtaining it overall?
Right.
So what is not freedom? Because I think sometimes defining what is not will help people that, oh, because if it looks like this, to not be free, then I can understand what freedom is.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll be honest. Honestly, I think it's subjective.
It is very subjective.
I think freedom is subjective because we can talk to person A, they can say living off the grid is freedom to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And other person, like, you know, person B can say freedom to me is be financially free to move and go as I please.
Right. That's right. Agency.
Yeah, you know, right. But,
yeah.
But, you know, I think freedom is a very subjective, you know, thing, right? And also, I do feel like, you know, depends on how you see this world,
Exactly.
You know, it came to dictate how you see your freedom. You know, so it can go a lot of different ways.
And I mean, you think about it, like you said, what is not freedom? And the definition or the antonym of freedom is bondage, right? And bondage is like, you know, you're being bound by something. Something is, you know, controlled or, you know, and we all have bondage in some kind of way. And maybe I don't want to call it bondage, but somebody could have, you know, addiction and they're held capture to that.
Right.
Even with their work, you know what I mean? At a certain time, you know, they have to report and, you know, but like you said, it is all subjective. And, you know, freedom to me, I'm still understanding and learning really what freedom is. And, you know, I believe that we may not truly be free until we leave this earth. Mm. Because we'll always have some type of obligation of some sort while we're here on earth. You know, you may be off the grid, but you got work to do. You got the chickens to tend to. You got, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to survive and feed yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. You got to pay those taxes. You know what I'm saying? But spiritual freedom, right? Like, in that inside, you know, to be able to be who you are and wear what you want and present how you want. To speak how you feel, you know, unapologetically.
Yeah.
I think there's a degree of freedom there. And I think we all are working towards obtaining that freedom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, like, I was was watching, I don't know if y'all seen this joint on Netflix. It's like Jailbirds. It's like this new series. I was just watching it. But that, I mean, even like, you know, these Orange New Black, whatever. And it was even a time where I had visited jails before with my previous church, and we would go in and do like a little kind of service, stuff like that. But even in all those times, it's like, it's interesting, like, when you hear and see people that's in there and like being able to talk or hear or listen to somebody that has that perspective. It's like, even though they're behind bars, like, mentally, like, spiritually, like, they're free. Like, they're able to operate in a way that some people on the outside are not. Like,
right.
And so I'm like, that's interesting how, like, how is it that this person has this sense of, like, awareness or whatever it is that just kind of, like, sets them apart from maybe some other people? Because if you just look at it from a physical standpoint, like, freedom versus bondage or whatever, you know, it's... You know, people can make that kind of easy, but like, I do think, I agree that it is subjective, but I think it's important for us to, like, we do need to sit down and define, what does that look like for me? What does that mean to me? Because if I'm not, then what does that say? You know, like, am I just, you know, and I don't know if that's kind of aligns back with our conversation about just that awareness of being able to operate as that thermostat and recognizing the climate that you're in. And to do it, you know, out of choice, you know, doing it, you know, because I think sometimes freedom is recognizing your intentions, you know, like I was just saying, like, is it a choice or is it like I'm doing this because I have to,
right?
You know, and to be able to work through your, you know, your goals and your vision and to achieve your purpose, hopefully. And there's people that, unfortunately, aren't in that space right now because they really are having like a serious kind of bondage, like whether it's addiction or they are in jail or they are experiencing this like life, you know what I'm saying? But I think that there's still a level of freedom that people can have that they can operate in, and I think that is, you know, I think that goes back to the faith piece, you know, you know, to be set free. Who the sun sets free? It's free indeed, you know, like, so that can be big, you know, so.
Yeah, you bring up a great point, just, you know, looking at people who are in bondage.
Right.
So folks who are incarcerated, you know, and I've experienced it on a professional.
Yes, sir.
And a personal, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, so I haven't been incarcerated, but you know, my father, he's been incarcerated now. Like, I've definitely experienced it very close. And so...
Right.
you know, understanding the mentality, right? Like, yeah. what this freedom, and I'm, and like working with people who have life in prison. Like, I've worked with those people.
Wow.
Right? And how do you give, how do you instill faith and hope in somebody when they know this is their life?
Yeah.
But it goes back to spiritual freedom.
Yeah.
It goes back to, you know, defining what freedom means to you, right? In those spaces where you know you are confined to some degree. Like, there are certain things that you're unable to do for the rest of your life.
Right.
And how do you find acceptance for those things?
Boom. You said that, man. Yeah. Finding acceptance. And I think a big part of that freedom, and this came to me while I was listening to y'all, is peace of mind.
Peace.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Peace mm-hmm. of mind. Like, you know, you do have people who are in physical bondage, but I know that they have some peace of mind. Some of them mm-hmm. do. You know, they're searching for that peace of mind. To know that they're going to be okay after this, whatever they go through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good.
Yeah.
Man.
Great stuff, y'all.
Yeah, man, definitely. Yeah. I like that. I'm in peace.
Yeah. So.
I like that. Yeah. I think that's a great way to land the plane, yeah, man. Absolutely. Just like, you know, yeah, I think we want to have peace. And, you know, I think one of the things that pushes me is, if like one of the stories that is like a biblical story or biblical parable, you know, talking about the what is it, the parable of the seeds, whatever. Yeah, I'm not sure if y'all heard it before, but it's talking about what is it? Basically, it's actually the parable of the talents, where like you got talents that is being given to everybody. So like one person has like 5, one person has 10, one person has 1, and then the master goes away, right? And then he comes back, says, what's the return on the talents that I've given you, right? Have you been faithful to it? Have you tended to it? Have you done what you're supposed to do with it? And the person that had 10, he did his job, he got 10 more. The person that had 5 did their part, got 5 more. The person that had 1 said, nah, I'm gonna bury this joint because I heard that the master is like is mean and all that kind of stuff, and so I'm gonna just bury it so I don't lose it, right? And he was like, you're a wicked person, like, actually off with your head, like, give this talent, give that to the person that had 10. Mm-hmm. And like the part that like hits me with that, even though we were just talking about peace, but it's just like peace knowing that you're doing something about what you have. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. these different things that we have influence over, recognizing that, like, hey, like, if we're doing our part, like, we can have peace to know that, like, we're making an investment on ourselves, an investment in our community and our family, mm-hmm. in a way that like should give us that hope and that sense of freedom, that sense of peace that says, hey man, like, we're moving in the right direction and we can continue to influence each other and inspire each other to continue to do great things, man. So salute to y'all, man. Appreciate this conversation, man.
Salute to you
always.
Salute to everyone that's listening, you know. Sorry. And you know, hope you definitely got something from this discussion today.
That's it.
And you know, I think one thing we want to, you know, leave y'all with, you know, not the top anything we've already done. I mean, I think we can definitely land this thing as perfect as it is, right?
For sure.
But quote of the pie, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just want y'all to just go out there and, as Rashad say, invest in yourself, right? Thanks. And so, by the, you know, hey, the rich man himself, Arthur Ashe, said it best. You know, start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can.
Do what you can.
All right? Right. Mm-hmm. So, family, go out there, be blessed. And until next time.
Peace. Peace.